You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
So, hello everybody. It's good to be back. I'm excited to be back. I'm just so grateful to God for all of you, and grateful for my life, and grateful that I get to be your pastor. And I'm about to start a new sermon series, which will probably be the most epic sermon series I think I've ever attempted in 30 years. I can't give you an end date to the sermon series. Yeah, so I mean, let's see how it goes. You will remember at the start of this year, we said as a community, we have this mission, this vision, 2033, as we approach this time where we are celebrating 2,000 years of Christ's death and resurrection. We're what, 7, 8 years away. We as a church community have said we want to be as outward, as evangelistic, as missional, as inviting and including and sharing the gospel kind of people as we can possibly be. Now, in order for us to do that well, we need to know and understand the story of God as it unfolds in the pages of Scripture, all, of course, in the life of Jesus as well. But we need to know the big idea. We need to understand the story of God from Genesis to Revelation. And in doing that, we get to know God. We get to understand who God is, God's plan for creation. And then, secondly, to that, not just knowing God, but I also will then need to understand my place in it all, my role, my purpose in God's great story. And it is from that place, understanding the story of God in human history, which is what history is, I suppose, his story. If we understand that as given to us in the person of Jesus and in the pages of the Bible, and we understand our place in it, well, then surely we will be a people unstoppable, truly able to go into the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so this is what I want to do. Today I'm going to start, and we'll see when we end. I want to preach through the Bible, the biblical narrative, the good news, the story of God, starting in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through Moses, the Exodus, the prophets, the kings, the birth of Jesus, the birth of the church, the second coming of Christ, all the way. I want us to see the big story of God. And my purpose in doing this is twofold, as I've said. Number one, so that you and I can come to know God in his glory and in his majesty. Gain a better understanding of the big picture as we see God's plan unfolding in history. And then secondly, how do I, Paul, how do you, Susie, John, Andrew, Jan, Griet? I was thinking of a Dutch girl name, but I couldn't. I just came up with Griet. Is that even a good Dutch girl name? No. Is it? Okay, I got it. Whew. How do I fit into this? How do I fit into this? To help me understand my purpose in life, why I'm here, why I was born, why I breathe, what God would have me do with my life. So that's the purpose. And so, really, there's this beautiful moment in the immediate aftermath of those monumental events in Jerusalem, those history-changing events in Jerusalem, the death and resurrection of Christ. There's this beautiful moment that happens in the immediate aftermath of that, of those events. These friends walking to this village called Emmaus. You know the story. Cleopas. And so all this just happened, and they don't know how to make sense of the world in which they live. They don't know how to make sense of the things that just happened in their world. What just happened in Jerusalem. They don't know how to make sense of their faith, their future. It's in Luke's Gospel 24. We're going to read a bit now. And so they're walking to this village, Emmaus, dejected, the Bible tells us, struggling to make sense of things. And this stranger joins them. What's up, friends? Why so sad? What? Don't you know? You must be the only one that doesn't know what just happened. And so they tell him about, you know, Jesus, the one that we believe and follow, he was crucified, and some say he was risen, but really we just can't make sense of it all. And so this stranger begins a conversation. And what he does in this conversation, the Bible tells us, he started from Moses all the way through to the prophets, telling these two friends the story of God, so that they could understand. And in fact, he did such a good job. But they begged him to stay. Please don't leave. Come and join us for some food. And then he did. And as he broke bread, what happened? They recognized him as the risen Christ. And this is my hope for us all. And that really, I suppose, in a way, is what this sermon series is all about. It is an attempt to unpack that conversation. And my hope is that as we hear again the story of God, we discover Jesus again for each and every one of us. Does that sound okay? Yes. Shall we do that? Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then so, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And their lives were forever changed. And that's what we're going to do in the sermon series. We're going to tell the story of God. And look, I mean, I understand that the Bible, this one big book made up of 66 other books, different genres, different authors, different perspectives, can be daunting at times as they all try and tell the story of God and Jesus, and all pointing to Jesus, the Messiah. And as these authors in these books of the Bible, all these different books try and point and tell the story, I know that it's difficult perhaps for us to put it all together, to see the big picture, to understand it all fully. I mean, these authors, the Bible, they took 728,000 words to tell the story of God. Hopefully I'll do it in a bit less, although that's definitely no guarantee. I'm going to try and time it in such a way that by the time we get to the birth of Christ, it's Christmas. So I'm going to see if I can time it that we line it up nicely. But here's my hope. Dear friends, as your pastor, I long for each and every one of us to be formed, to know God and to know our place in God's story, and to be formed through the biblical narrative, the Bible story, into loving, obedient, and confident sons and daughters of God. And my prayer and my hope is that in this sermon series, that's what we're going to do. Okay. I had a great holiday. I have some great stories to tell you from my holiday, but I'm going to work them into the sermon series. I want to spread them out. tales of how I literally saved Catherine's life. I mean, she has a different version of events. But in my world, I saved her life. And so I'll tell you these stories to help illustrate as we talk and unpack the story of God. We're going to begin in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. Today, we're going to cover just the first four words. Oh boy, it's going to be a long sermon series. We will speed things up, but don't worry. But I want to take today just to set the scene as we look at the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. And that's all we're going to look at today. In the beginning, God, because there are a few things that we learn about God that I want you to remember, and you know these things, but I want to remind you of them and perhaps even write them down so that over the sermon series, you begin to make your own notes so that you can begin to put together the story of God and in that discover your place in God's story, God's mission and purpose for your life. Because in these first four words, in the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, God is introduced to us. And we get to learn a little bit about God's nature and character. And it's important for us to be reminded of this because these things, I'm going to ask you to hang on to these truths about God and who God is, because these truths, we're going to carry them with us as we tell the story. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. Now, it was 30 years ago that I studied Hebrew, but I do remember the first line. Bereshit bara Elohim. Yeah, bara's first. But good, I mean, that was good. Bereshit bara Elohim. Bereshit means in the beginning. Bara means to create. And then Elohim, God. So our English grammar is different. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the Hebrew, Bereshit bara Elohim. Today we focus on Bereshit Elohim. We're going to get to bara next week. Is that okay? In the beginning, God. I want to point you to three things I want you to remember about your God, who you just sang to, who you worship, who you pray to, who you praise and adore and have surrendered your life to. I want to remind you of three things about this God of yours that we come to discover in those first few words. And here's the first one. In the beginning, God. Number one. In the beginning, God was. Before there was anything, God was. God exists beyond and above our understanding of creation and time and space. God is not created. God was. God was, is, and will forever be. God before anything. Before anything was, God was. I mean, if I could just a pastoral note, throw a pastoral note in there. Before there was anything, God was. So is there then anything in my life that God does not know or understand or have wisdom on or advice or knowledge of? Huh? Before anything, God was. So there is nothing that you can throw at him or know or experience or do or whatever that God does not have wisdom on, knowledge of. Number one, God before all things. When we think backwards until the past vanishes like a mist, or whether we think forward until our imaginations run dry, you will find God at both those points. in all his fullness, unchanging, undiminished, in all his glory at both points, at the beginning, at the end. God was, is, and will be forever, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, but not just the beginning. God wasn't just there at the beginning. God is the beginning. Side note. A.W. Tozer said this once. Let me quote for you. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Let me explain what he's saying. He is saying everything about you comes from what you think and believe and understand about God. Your identity, your mission, your purpose, your behavior, your attitude, your view on stuff, all comes from what you believe about God. If we miss God, we miss everything. If we know God, we gain everything. And so this conversation about in the beginning, God is so fundamentally important for us. It's so important that you understand God as much as the human brain can, but that we understand God, that we take time to wrestle with who is this God that I worship and adore and have surrendered my life to. And so this conversation is important. So the very first idea about God given to us in the first few words, in the beginning, Bereshit, God is this. That God was, is, and will forever be above, beyond our time and space. If I miss this about God, I miss everything. And so as I start the God story, my purpose is to get to know God. And so I begin to consider in the beginning God. I begin to consider his glory, his majesty, his power, his beauty, his might, his sovereignty. And I ask that as we begin this God story, will you take time this week to consider this truth about God, that God was, is, and will forever be. In the beginning, God was. The second thing we learn about God in just those four words, Bereshit, Bara, next week, Elohim. The second thing we learn about God is in the word Elohim, Bereshit, Elohim. In the beginning, God. The word Elohim is an interesting word. And in unpacking this word, we begin to learn more about who God is, his nature and character. The word Elohim is made up of El Ohim. El was the ancient generic term for God, small g. It is a singular form. Ohim is plural. What? Elohim speaks of a godhood, singular but plural. God. And so right in the first four words, we are introduced to this idea of God who was, is, and will forever be. So God eternal, but we're introduced to God as a family. Later we'll get to this, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The eternal family. And so the second idea about God that is so important for us to hang on to is that God, singular, God is one God. God alone is God, but God is not alone. God is a family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God was. God, Elohim, is both singular and plural. One God. God alone is God. There are no other gods. One God. But God is not alone. He is an eternal family. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, right, I love how in the first four words of the Bible, we're already introduced to the Godhood. And it took the church many years to come up with the word that we use today, the Trinity. One God, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But right at the beginning, we already introduced to God as an eternal family. And what's more, what we come to learn about from Elohim, about our God, is so his character and his nature. We come to understand, and we're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks, the nature of this family. How do they exist with one another? And we come to discover, we'll talk much more about this, but that this eternal family exists in perfect love and unity. These are important foundational things for us to remember. We're going to talk about this in the coming weeks. We're going to hang so much on these foundational truths. Before there was anything, God was. Number two, God alone is God, but God is not alone. We're introduced to the Trinity, the eternal family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Theologian Greg Boyd said it this way: as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God eternal exists as perfect love. We come to learn a little bit about the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says they exist in unity, perfect unity, and in perfect love. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit ascribe ultimate worth to one another without any competition. Their eternal life together consists in the divine joy of expressing the absolute value each has for the other. And so the idea that the author wants to leave us with in right at the beginning, Genesis 1, is of this perfect family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that exists in perfect love and unity. In fact, this love that exists within this eternal family is so different, so other, the Bible has a word for it. It's called holy. Holy. And so we need to know this about our God. Now, in some church, well, I think for many of us, I think we kind of grew up with the idea of God's love and God's holiness are two separate concepts, two separate ideas, but they're not. It's the same thing. We can't separate God's love and holiness. It is one. We can say it in a different way. We can say it in this way, that God's love is so pure, so self-giving, so undefiled, so unselfish that it is holy. What we come to discover about in the beginning God was, is, will forever be, God alone is God, but God is not alone. God is eternal family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who exists in perfect unity, in perfect love, holy love. In fact, God's love is so holy and pure that it is only capable of inviting, drawing in, calling home, restoring, making new, turning chaos into order. That is the perfect, holy love of God. And right from the beginning, we begin to build this picture of this God that we worship, who is above it all, sovereign and holy and powerful and majestic, glorious. There is nothing, no surprises to him that exists within relationship of Son and Holy Spirit and Father. Is love, 1 John tells us. But this love is a love that calls and invites and creates. And that's the third important thing that we learn about God. So God before all things. God alone is God, but God is not alone. God exists in perfect, holy love and unity, a love that invites and includes, which brings us to the third important thing, Bereshith bara Elohim, in the beginning God created. Our God, number three, is a creating God. Our God is a life-giving God. In the beginning, God created. Our God gives life. Our God includes and invites. This is what his holy, perfect love compels him to. It is part of his nature and character, is to draw us into this eternal family. Our God is a creating, life-giving God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Aretz. It's important to know that our God creates out of nothing, is the bold claim of the Hebrew Bible, the bold claim of our faith. And this is difficult for us because we feel that there must have been something first and then. But what this author wants to show us is God created something out of nothing. Out of nothing, God creates everything. Verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be, and there was. Interesting, the Hebrew, there's a playful phrase that describes this formlessness, this uninhabited, this emptiness. Tohu wa bohu is what it says. In the beginning, God hovered over the tohu wa bohu. Tohu, unordered, bohu, uninhabited. God's Spirit hovered over the tohu wa bohu. Here's a pastoral side note for you. God's Spirit doesn't hover over this perfect image that we present to the world about these perfect people that we are on social media. We now have fun holiday photos, and but meanwhile, just before the photo, we just had a big family fight, and you know what I mean? So God's Spirit hovers over the tohu wa bohu, the formless, the empty, the void, the shapeless, the chaos. God's Spirit hovers over the tohu wa bohu parts of my life, my heart, and I can scale it up over the tohu wa bohu parts of my family, of my relationships, of my community, of my neighborhood, of the nations of the world. Out of nothing, our God brings life and creates life. Out of the formlessness, he creates order. And so, God, I give you the tohu wa bohu of my heart. And I remember that you are a life-giving, creating, holy, loving God. A love that compels you to invite and to create and to include. A God who was, is, and will forever be. I love how God's Spirit here, I think part of what the author wants us to understand, how God is drawn to emptiness and chaos and creates order and life out of it. That's good news. That God is drawn to tohu wabohu. I have tohu wabohu, so do you. And I learn in the first few lines of the Bible that that does not scare him away, but he is drawn to that, and he gives it life and order. One last thing about point number three, that our God is a creating and a life-giving God, and that he creates out of nothing. One last thought with that is this. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That our God, as introduced to us here, Elohim, is so powerful that he creates just through his breath and his words. That God's word has power. There are some tales of creation, some fables of creation that speak of battles between good and evil and good won. Some cosmic struggle and God won. The author here wants us to clearly know there was no battle. God just said it, and it was. This is who I want you to know your God is. This is the extent of his power I want you to recognize and understand. He just speaks, he just breathes, and there is life. Out of nothingness, there is something. There's no battle. No battle needed. His word contains the power of life. Before anything, God was. So there cannot be anything that I know or face in life, God, that is beyond you, beyond your wisdom and your power. And so I give you everything that is making me anxious, that is stressing me, that is worrying me, because my God was, is, and will forever be. My God is God alone, but he's not alone. He exists in an eternal family. And as I come to discover later in the God story, he wants me to be part of that family. How cool is that? My God is drawn to chaos and disorder. He speaks and he gives life. My God creates beauty out of nothing. And so, God, I ask you to speak your word into my heart and create life. Into my marriage and create life. Out of nothing, something beautiful. Into the sin that is pestering me and clinging to me like, what do you call that, Velcro? Will you speak your word into that and create life? Into that darkness, will you speak, will you breathe and create life? In the beginning, God. Next week, we're going to talk about creation and God's crown of creation, you. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.